morning to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Book of Matthew, chapter 27. I'd like to read verses 45 and verse 46. Matthew 27, verse 45 and verse 46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What we read here took place from the sixth hour until the ninth hour. That is from noon until 3 p.m. Mark tells us in Mark 15 and verse 25, and it was the third hour, 9 a.m., that they crucified him. So 9 a.m., Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. From the third hour to the sixth hour, that is from 9 a.m. till noon, Jesus spoke three times from the cross. First, he prayed for those who were crucifying him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Secondly, he spoke to the dying thief. You remember the dying thief said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus responded by saying, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And then thirdly, he said unto his mother, Mary, woman, behold thy son. Then to that disciple, behold thy mother. So from 9 a.m. till noon, from the third hour to the sixth hour, Jesus spoke three times. Then after 3 hours upon the cross, in the sixth hour, what we just read about in our text, noon, something amazing happened. Something very startling, something remarkable, phenomenal, and extraordinary happened. From the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land. I believe, personally, that's worldwide. Over all the land unto the ninth hour. Now, if you're reading the gospel accounts of the cross, you find that this is really Matthew 27, verse 45 and 46, these 3 hours, is really the central verse in the story of the cross. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record these 3 hours. Notice in Mark's account, in Mark 15, Mark 15, verse 33. And when the sixth hour was come, again that's noon, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And then in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 in verse 45. And it was about the sixth hour that there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened. And it was during that 3 hours that the veil of the temple was rent in the midst, and that's another message. But we see that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all mention these 3 hours, from noon to 3 o'clock. The three most incredible, the three most mysterious hours that ever were throughout all human history was then. The fact that there was darkness over all the land, as Luke tells us, over all the earth, is not to be passed over lightly and is not to be considered as merely incidental. It's something to be noted. For 3 hours, there was darkness over the entire earth. And then about 3 o'clock p.m., the ninth hour, out of the darkness came that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, I don't believe that our minds will ever fully comprehend the full significance of what we read here in Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. We'll never fathom or get to the bottom of what happened during that 3 hours of darkness. What is recorded here is mysterious, cannot be fully examined, cannot be fully known, cannot be fully grasped, and certainly cannot be fully explained. So that's what we want to speak upon this morning, 3 hours of darkness. And as we preach this message, I would remind you that the one upon that cross is in a place of unparalleled suffering. No one has been more despised, no one has been more rejected than the one that was upon that cross. No one has been more hated, no one has been more mocked, more taunted, more ridiculed than the one that was upon that cross. The one upon that cross has been brutalized. His head is embedded with a crown of thorns. His body has been mutilated. His body has been mangled. Large Roman spikes have been driven through his hands, driven through his feet. His bones are all out of socket. His back has been pulverized by scourging. And there is the spittle of vile, ungodly men upon him. I also remind you that the one upon this cross is innocent. He has done nothing amiss. He is without sin. He is without fault. He is without flaw. He is without defect. He is without blemish. He is holy. He is spotless. He is pure. He lived his entire life upon this earth, never doing wrong. He is absolutely perfect. I also remind you that the one upon that cross is there voluntarily. What that means is he was there because he wanted to be. He was there because he wanted to be. I also remind you that the one who is upon that cross is there in the place of others. He is there in the stead of others. He is there in the place instead of those who have transgressed and broken the law of God. He is there in the place of those whose lives are filled with sin. He is there in place of those who are guilty. So the one upon that cross We must never, ever forget who it is upon that cross. But in this message, we want to go to that time between the sixth and the ninth hour. Between noon and 3 o'clock. And we want to consider the darkness. And we want to consider the cry that came from that darkness. And then what does all of this mean to you and I? First of all, consider the appearance here of darkness. There are three crosses. Upon two of them are thieves. And upon that central cross is Jesus. Three crosses and quite a gathering of people. The Roman soldiers are there. Chief priests are there. The scribes are there. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who were in authority were all there. Then, of course, there were the common people that were there as well. Notice in Matthew 27, verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. And set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." This was a custom. Above every cross was written the crime that was committed. So above the crosses of the thieves would be thieves, robbers, so on. But above the cross of Christ was "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right, the other on the left. So you have the people that are sitting, they're all looking at the cross, and they that pass by. There are others who just pass by. And as they pass by, they reviled him, and they wagged or shook their heads in disbelief, and saying, "Thou art thou that destroyest the temple and buildest up in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." So you have the crowd gathered. You have those that are walking by, and they all have something to say. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth." So you have all of these people. And then after 3 hours upon the cross, 3 hours of mocking, after 3 hours, darkness fell over the entire earth. A darkness like a thick blanket. Darkness at high noon. Can you imagine what these people must have felt at that time? A deep and thick darkness has now covered everything. I believe it's a darkness that could be felt. I believe it was a darkness that caused terror and caused horror to all of those who were present. I believe it was a very dreadful darkness. I believe it was an excruciating darkness. And I believe if you could listen into that crowd of those that had gathered, you might hear someone say with an uncertain voice, "It's an eclipse." And you might hear someone else say, "No, it can't be an eclipse because this is a time of full moon." Someone else might have said, a storm is coming. They're in a cloud in sight. The truth is, this was a supernatural darkness. Never has there been a darkness upon the earth like it since. And it was for 3 hours. I believe it's what we read of in the book of Amos, chapter 8 and verse 9. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. I believe that's what happened. The only thing that can explain this darkness is God. God sent this darkness. Not only was there this mysterious, unexplainable darkness that overcame everything, I believe also there was a fearful and dreadful silence, especially from the cross. Again, up to this time, Jesus had spoken 3 times. But during the darkness, not a word was heard from the cross. Not until the end. And then out of that darkness was heard those words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Consider the elements of this darkness. Jesus Christ. This is mysterious. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Jesus Christ is the Son, the S-U-N, of righteousness. And it was Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of righteousness, that hung upon that cross. And yet there's darkness over all the earth. Again, a darkness that could be felt. Now from the 6th hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the 9th hour. That is, there was no light to be found. In the whole history of creation, never has there been 3 hours like we read of here. Never has there been darkness like we read of here. This mysterious, unexplainable, deep and thick darkness that had covered everything during those 3 hours. It was full of meaning. Again, I don't believe we can fully grasp everything that it means or everything that transpired. But everything that that darkness represents, Jesus came victoriously through it all. What a wonderful thing. So what is this darkness? I believe it was the darkness of hell. I believe it was the darkness of hell and evil. In Matthew 8 and verse 12, Jesus spoke of outer darkness, talking about the darkness of hell, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I believe this darkness was the outer darkness of hell. It is referred to in Jude verse 13 as the blackness of darkness. We read of the power of darkness in Colossians 1 and verse 13, talking about evil, the realm of Satan. We read of the chains of darkness in 2 Peter 2. In verse 4. Demonic forces are referred to as the rulers of darkness in Ephesians 6 and verse 12. And I believe from the 6th hour to the 9th hour, the powers of hell were unleashed against Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, he's innocent. Keep in mind, he's there because he wants to be. Keep in mind, he's there in the place of others. But I believe this is the power of hell unleashed against Christ. On the night in Gethsemane when they came to rescue or arrest Jesus Christ, Luke records in Luke 22 and 53 that Jesus said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." Talking to those who came to arrest them. "This is your hour and this is the power of darkness." So from 9 a.m. till noon, Jesus spoke three times and it was light. Then suddenly at noon, a darkness envelops the entire earth. And it was during that time that Satan, with his demons in all their fury, in all their hatred, in all their malice, unleashed all of that against Christ. But the wonderful thing is, they could not overcome Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came out of that darkness. And I remind you, He was there for me. And He came out of that darkness. So darkness, this is the darkness of hell. It is the darkness of evil. Darkness is also illustrative of heavy affliction throughout the Word of God. During that 3 hours of darkness, I believe that Jesus Christ endured unimaginable distress, unimaginable pain. And I'm not talking about physical pain so much as inward pain, unimaginable trouble, unimaginable misery and adversity, unimaginable sorrow and anguish and torment. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." We cannot possibly fathom the depths of Christ's agony. But I believe it was during that 3 hours that Christ suffered the most agony. In Isaiah 53 and verse 11, it is referred to as the travail of His soul. And I believe it was during that 3 hours of darkness that we read of the travail of His soul. But darkness not only illustrates the powers of hell and evil, and illustrates heavy affliction, darkness also is illustrative of God's judgment throughout the Word of God. During that 3 hours of darkness, Jesus Christ endured the judgment of God. In Isaiah 53 and verse 6, we read, "The Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." In Isaiah 53 and 12, we read, "He bare the sin of many." And in 1 Peter 2, 24, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree." All three of those references refer to sin being laid upon Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ bearing our sins. That's not figurative. That's real. God the Father literally in one act gathered together as one huge, filthy, vile, repulsive load all the sins of His people. And He put them all upon Jesus Christ. I believe that Christ began to feel that load of sin in Gethsemane. But again, that's another message. But all my sins were transferred to Christ. As a result, He bore all the guilt of my sin. As a result, he was charged with the debt of all my sins. And he became accountable to God for all my sins. And he bore the effects of all my sins. And with all of our sins upon him, it was during this 3 hours of darkness. We read in Isaiah 53 and verse 4 that he was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I believe that happened in this 3 hours of darkness. He was stricken and smitten of God. The people had already struck him, had already smote him. But that's nothing compared to stricken and smitten of God. He is now bearing the judgment of God. It was during that 3 hours of darkness that we read in Isaiah 53 and verse 10 that it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief. And though we cannot fathom the depths of the judgment of God that came upon Christ during those 3 hours of darkness, I believe that Jesus Christ does give us a glimpse of what happened during that 3 hours. He gives us a glimpse of the judgment of God that fell upon him because of my sins during that 3 hours. Again, for 3 hours, not a word was heard from that central cross. And then about 3 o'clock, I believe it's still dark, but about 3 o'clock, out of the midst of that darkness comes a cry. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. And I believe this was a voice that could be heard everywhere. He cried with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? One thing that happened during that 3 hours of darkness was that there was an estrangement between the Father and the Son. There was a separation between God the Father and God the Son. During those 3 hours of darkness, there was an abandonment. During that 3 hours of darkness, there was a desertion. Jesus Christ had been abandoned by God the Father. He had been deserted by God the Father. Keep in mind that he's there in the place and in the stead of others. Oh, Jesus Christ had been forsaken before. He had been forsaken by the religious hierarchy. He had been forsaken by his disciples. He had been forsaken by the fickle crowd. But this was nothing compared to being forsaken by God. And it was during that 3 hours that Jesus was abandoned by God the Father. The one who hung upon that cross had been from all eternity the object of God's love. During 33 years upon earth, an eternity before that, he enjoyed unbroken communion with God. Never did Jesus Christ spend a moment out of the presence of God. But during that 3 hours of darkness, from noon until 3 o'clock, God the Father turned his back upon Jesus Christ. During that 3 hours of darkness, God abandoned. That's what the word forsaken means. He abandoned and deserted his son. 3 hours of darkness and God forsook his son. For 3 hours, communication with heaven had been interrupted. And there was alienation. Keep in mind, there was also the crushing weight of our sins upon Jesus Christ. And he's all alone. And that's significant. Because alone, Jesus Christ bore all my sin. And I mean alone. Never has there ever been anyone more alone than Jesus Christ was from noon till 3 o'clock. Alone, he bore all my sin, bore all the guilt, bore all the filth, paid the penalty of my sin. 3 hours of darkness, 3 hours of silence from Jesus Christ. And then came the most gut-wrenching cry of abandonment and of loneliness throughout the history of the world. Out of that darkness. In paying the penalty of my sins, Christ was forsaken by God. We cannot fathom the depths of that. But from the cry of Jesus Christ, it's obvious that during that 3 hours of darkness, Christ was all alone. What does all of this mean to you and I? Well, who can measure such a love? He was there because he wanted to be. He was there with my sin. He was there with all the guilt of my sin. And he bore it all, and he bore it all alone. Who can measure such love? Jesus Christ was deserted. But we must never forget he took the desertion in our place. You see, it's what we deserve. God laid all my sins upon Jesus Christ. And the just penalty of my sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Death is a separation. Physical death is a separation of body and soul. Spiritual death is a separation from God. So it is with eternal death. The wages of sin is death. What my sin deserves, what your sin deserves, is separation from God. Our sin demands that we be forsaken by God. Jesus Christ took my place, and he was forsaken by God, not because of anything he had done, but because my sins had been laid upon him. What all this means is that my sin debt and all who are saved, our sin debt has been paid. Jesus Christ endured the darkness so that I would be delivered from the darkness. He endured the darkness so that I would have light. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 13 that we've been delivered from darkness and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. 1 Peter chapter 2, that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Paul said in Acts 26 that Jesus came to open blind eyes and to deliver them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. God the Father forsook his Son during those 3 hours of darkness, so that we, His adopted children, will never experience abandonment from God. All because of Jesus, God says to me today in Hebrews 13 and 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because He left Jesus for me. He forsook Jesus for me. And though I deserve to be left, and though I deserve to be forsaken, Jesus Christ endured it all in my place. What we read there in Matthew 27, verse 45 and 46, our text, was all for me. It was all for you. And today I'm placing all of my trust, and I'm leaning completely upon Him, who for the well-being of my soul and for the well-being of my soul in eternity took my place. We that have been delivered from darkness and translated into His light, we realize that those 3 hours of mysterious, deep, thick darkness was for us. That dreadful, excruciating darkness was for us. It was all for us. Again, we don't know what all is entailed in that 3 hours of darkness. But I believe during that time, all of hell was unleashed against Jesus Christ. And during that time, He bore afflictions unheard of, unimaginable afflictions. And most importantly of all, during that 3 hours, He endured the judgment of God. And then at 3 o'clock, it became light again. You see, Jesus came through all the darkness. Whatever that darkness entails, Jesus came through it all. Then we know the rest of the story. They took Jesus Christ down from the cross. They would bury Him. Dark, cold tomb. He came forth from that as well. All for me. What better place do you have today to place your trust than Jesus Christ? He's your only hope today. If you're hoping, you're trusting in anything else, you're deceived. And you're going to be greatly disappointed one day. The only way that you can be prepared to leave this life is to be trusting Jesus Christ. And whom are you trusting today? We that are saved, again, we don't know everything that happened during that 3 hours, but I thank God for it. Because it was all for me. One day I'll be with Him, all because of Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.